good. How are you feeling this morning?
Good. Considering I have practically 3 weeks to go, I feel pretty good.
Yeah, my wife is due in November, mid-November. So,
is this your first?
No, this is our third.
Oh, okay. So you guys have done this before?
Yeah, and our oldest is almost four, and our youngest is almost two. So we've done it recently.
Good. Well, I'm sure that helps to a certain extent, and then it's exhausting on the other hand as well.
Yes, yeah. It's kind of both, because you don't have to retrain yourself, but you don't really get a break or a rest at all. So.
Right. How's it been for her? Does she say that all of them have been pretty different or pretty similar?
So far, this one seems to have been harder on my wife. Like, she's been sick more. And, like, nauseated, dizzy kind of thing more so.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I mean, do you guys know what you're having?
Not on this one. On the first two, we didn't find out, but we will find out on this one, so.
Oh, gotcha. So what do you already have?
We have two boys.
You have two boys. Yeah, I mean, I'm in the same situation. I mean, I didn't find out with either, and of course, this one was a little rougher for me, too, and I have a little boy, so of course everybody says girl, but I just think it's because we're older. Your body gets older, you get older, and it's been through it before. I mean, that's my personal opinion, but who knows? It could mean girl for both of us. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I don't know. I don't try to guess. I was like, well, once we go to the doctor and they do that ultrasound and that says, yes, it is a boy or it's a girl, then we'll know from there. So.
Well, congratulations either way.
Thank you. And I'm glad that we got to do this and that you're not giving birth right now.
Yeah. Agreed. I mean, it's funny, you know, it's felt longer this time, and then it hit April, and I was just like, whoa, let's slow down. I need all the time I can get, because life will change.
Yes, very much so. All right, well, I'm going to go ahead and do the introduction, and then we'll continue the conversation. So hopefully it goes just like it has been, just a conversation kind of back and forth, and then, like I said, at around 9:50, the kids will come in, and once they get settled, we'll turn their mics on and they can begin asking questions too, so.
Okay, great.
All right. What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast. If you're joining us now live, then you have heard a little bit of the conversation between Sarah and I discussing both of our pregnancies, hers and then my wife's, obviously not mine. I am your host, Jeremy Jackson, and with me today is a fitness expert and a pregnancy expert, and then I'm going to read some of her awards and things like that, is Sarah Haley, which you can find out more about her at sarahhaley.com, so sarahhaley.com, and she is just barely making it with us before her new baby. Sarah, did you say you knew what you're having?
No, I don't.
All right, very cool.
May 25 is the due date, though, so soon.
May 25. How come y'all decided to wait? Did y'all wait on the first one?
We did. I have a little boy. I have a 3-year-old son. I think we both just feel like you don't get many surprises in life, and this is one of the fun things that you can kind of do to be surprised.
Yeah.
And mostly because it really doesn't matter to us. I mean, it matters that I have a healthy baby, but outside of that, boy, girl, it's not a huge deal to me.
All right, very cool. That's exactly. We were like, you know, it doesn't matter. We don't want to obsess over. But this one, since we already have two boys, we want to know if we need to start buying pink things, because, you know, most of our newborn stuff is neutral, like I'm sure yours is. And then
Yes. After
that, everything quickly turns to boy. So.
Oh, I 100% understand why people find out. My sister's 2 weeks behind me, and she knows she's having a little girl, and I think there's a little bit more of a connection there when you do know, you know, the fact that she can just refer to her baby as her and she. I think it's a huge connection that I don't necessarily have. But again, like you said, I don't have to obsess over anything until the baby gets here, and then there's going to be enough obsession going on.
Do you have a nickname for your baby?
No. It's funny. We did with my son. With my son, we called it Papoose. And we haven't this time. It's just it's been so much more this pregnancy about preparing my son for the arrival and talking to him about it that I think that's kind of fell aside.
Gotcha. We call ours, it's a very random story, but ours is Babushka. And those are like the little stacking dolls in Russia or something like that. And so somebody called my son that once because they were a bigger kid and they said he was a babushka. And so now that's just something we say all the time. And so it just seemed to fit very well. So
I love it.
Just very random. So, all right. So I'm not sure if I actually said the title. This is episode 79, Pregnancy and Athletics with Sarah Haley, recorded April 30th, 2014. And again, I already said Sarah Haley can be found at sarahhaley.com. She's on Twitter, Google+, Instagram, Facebook. All that stuff is right there on her website. Very good stuff. I was watching one of the videos, I think it was the Easter video the other day, where you're doing your Easter push-ups and egg search and stuff like that. So there's lots of cool stuff on her Google+, on her YouTube and website there. If you want to check out our site, it's sportsmedicinebroadcast.com. That's where hopefully you're streaming this live, listening. You can use hashtag TheSMB, and I'm going to do my best to watch that. And if they have questions, then I can ask those of Sarah live on air. And if you can't do that, then you know we can get in touch with her through her website. So again, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com. That way you can check out our site and hopefully interact with us in some form or fashion. All right, so obviously, we've been talking with Sarah so far about the baby that's coming up. But Sarah, can you tell me a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Yeah, well, first and foremost, like you mentioned, I'm a mother. And then outside of that, my profession, I call myself a fitness and pregnancy, it's not my favorite word, but we use the word expert because that's where all my experience and expertise lies. I'm a pre and postnatal exercise specialist. Which means I really spend most of my time in that sphere. I have my own brand of DVDs called The Daily Sweat, and my most well-known and most well-bought DVD is called Expecting More, which is a pregnancy workout program I developed when I was pregnant with my son. And it's one of the best-selling ones on Amazon. It's probably one of the things I'm most proud of. And then I also have a follow-up DVD called Sweat Unlimited that really is for anyone. Working professionals that don't have a lot of time, new moms, anyone kind of looking to lose the last 10 pounds. And then outside of that, I consult with a lot of different fitness brands. I work with a clothing brand called Prism Sport. I'm the master trainer for a company called Ultra Slide, which is a great lateral piece of equipment that a lot of athletes actually use. And then I teach classes at Equinox, which is a national health club, and I've worked for them in New York and in Chicago. I'm a Chicago, homeborn Chicagoan, but I lived in New York City for almost 10 years before I moved out here to Santa Monica, California. I was a Reebok master trainer for about 7 years, and that's really what was my big break into the fitness industry, was working with a wonderful brand, Reebok.
All right, so what got you started about 20 years ago into the fitness profession?
I am a self-proclaimed dance chick turned fitness chick. I've been a dancer my entire life, and I moved to New York City to pursue a dance career, and I supported myself when I wasn't performing with teaching fitness classes. It was a really easy transition for me. I taught dance for years, so cueing and instructing came easy to me, and really where the education came in was training myself in different formats, whether that was, you know, I started off very traditionally with high, low, and step, and moved into, you know, I got certified by Schwinn and taught cycling for a while, always kind of dabbled in the hip-hop aerobics and dance, and taught those classes as well, and then strength training. I mean, I've done everything from, you know, body bar classes to stability ball. And then I also teach a program that I love called Willpower and Grace, which is a barefoot training program.
All right, well, tell me a little bit more just about that.
Yeah, Willpower Method, you can go on willpowermethod.com. It is a program we believe that if you train from the feet on up, you build a stronger and a sounder body. And it's a fusion class. If you go on their website, you can look up and find a class all over the nation and actually all over the world at this point. She's expanded into Japan and London and, oh gosh, I probably couldn't name every country that they're in right now. But it is a fusion class, which means it combines probably the best of all fitness regimes, meaning anything from body sculpting to martial arts to dance to yoga to Pilates. It's all kind of fused into one class to give you a really well-rounded workout. But back to your original question, I was teaching these classes on the side when I was performing in New York City. And in 2007, it was a combo of a couple of different things. One, my husband, who was my boyfriend at the time, pointed out to me how much happier I was when I was teaching fitness. I don't know if it's the endorphins, the adrenaline, but I think mostly it was the fact that I was giving back. So the life of a performer is self-consuming. And I think what I really enjoyed about teaching was that I was seeing other people's lives change, and I was seeing other people, whether it was just simply being happy from taking my class or actually seeing weight loss results, that was really rewarding to me as well. Combined with the fact that I was recruited by Reebok in 2007 to come on board and be part of their global ambassador team. They were partnering with Cirque du Soleil at the time. And that partnership was such a perfect fit for me because it was Reebok fitness world combined with Cirque du Soleil dance and theater world. And the merging of those two brands for me was such a good fit in terms of what I loved and what I was really becoming an expert at. So this team of originally 25 women from around the world eventually was weaned down to about five of us. And I eventually became the U.S. spokesperson for them, whether that was, you know, media relations, teaching and training instructors and trainers all over the world, creating programs for them, doing DVDs. That's how I first got into DVDs, is I did a whole slew of DVDs for them on different Reebok equipment. So that they were really my big break. They're such a wonderful company to work for. They really believe in making fitness fun, which is ideally why I like to work out. So it was a really great fit for me in my life at that time and really set me off on my career.
All right. So then you went from New York to Santa Monica. Was that anything dealing with I assume it's got to do with your job, but
no, actually, and that's everybody that meets us asks us that. It was a combination of we'd been in New York for, like I said, we'd been on the East Coast for almost 10 years. Both my husband and I were really curious what it was like to live on the West Coast and be a little bit closer to accessible water. I mean, the Jersey Shore is great, but we wanted to see what a little bit of the beach life was like. My husband was an engineer for 10 years. He had just started working for himself, so he had flexibility. I knew that I could work in the fitness world out on the West Coast. So we took the jump, and it was actually right around when I became pregnant with my son. So in terms of quality of life, it was a nice jump, too, to kind of leave the hustle and bustle of New York City and come out to a little bit of a more serene and calmer life. It was just a really good life transition.
All right. So you've talked a lot about your experience working out before your pregnancy, and now you just mentioned that you were pregnant once you got to Santa Monica. Mm-hmm. What experience did you have with pregnancy and working out before you got pregnant, before it was, I guess, personal to you?
I had gone through a pre and postnatal, I'll call it a certification. And the difference to me between a certification and becoming a specialist is a certification is a one day, you go in, you kind of learn the ropes and just get a little more educated. It's a great thing to do. And I highly, highly recommend it to any trainer, instructor, anyone that's going to work with women, because a lot of women get pregnant. And I'm a small, right. I don't want to say the majority because it kind of depends on what part of the country you live in, but more than likely you're going to be around somebody in your life that gets pregnant. And I'm a small girl. I'm you know, when I'm not pregnant, I'm about 5'1", 1.5. So most of my clients are women. I don't have a lot of big guys coming to me to train. So at the time I was doing a lot of personal training and I was training all these women, and I knew that if I wanted to continue to train them smart, that I needed to know what to do if they became pregnant, or what not to do. You know, there's both. So I had gone through like a general pre-postnatal certification for that reason. And then also I knew that I would want to have children one day and I would want to be able to train safely myself. So it was twofold. And once I did that, unfortunately, a lot of trainers don't take the time to go do that. Again, that's why I highly encourage all my peers and instructors and trainers to go through it. So it even before I officially became a specialist, it was my specialty because nobody else that I was working with was doing it. So I was getting all these pregnant women sent to me. At that time, I wasn't finding a lot of women were wanting a trainer when they were pregnant. It was almost a lot of postnatal. So I'm back. I want to lose all this weight. So these clients started to be sent to me. And at that point, between the clients that I had, and then I'm from the Midwest. So a lot of my friends were having babies before I was. And they all kept saying to me, when are you going to do a pregnancy workout DVD? And the one thing I knew, Jeremy, was I did not want to do a pregnancy workout DVD until I was actually pregnant. Because when you're pregnant, and I'm sure your wife could relate to this, you don't really want to work out with somebody that's not. It's hard right. to, from a DVD perspective, not necessarily from a trainer perspective, but I think it's much more comfortable to be working out with somebody else who's in your shoes. It's hard to look at somebody in a really skinny fit body and say, you can relate to me. So I knew that I didn't want to do that DVD until I was pregnant myself. So that was kind of my journey in terms of getting pre and postnatal certified and building my DVD.
All right. So you started with the certification before you were ever pregnant.
Yes. Oh, yes. And like I said, it's because I was working with mostly women, and pregnancy it can be a scary thing for a lot of women. And I think that you need to know what you're talking about if you're working with them. You need to know the do's and the don'ts. And even moreover, even if you just do a basic certification so you know those basic do's and don'ts. The other thing that's really important to find out if you're training a pregnant woman is you really need to know what her workout program was prior to being pregnant. Because the general rule is do what's moderate for you. So if you don't know what their workout program was before, it's really hard to judge what's moderate for their level. So that would really be my main suggestion too, is if all you're doing is reading online kind of about what pregnant women should and shouldn't do, then the other thing you need to find out is what was their workout regimen before they were pregnant.
Yeah, so that's what I was kind of wondering about, your exercises before you got pregnant. And so just tell us a little bit about how long have you been doing this before you got pregnant, and then kind of what your thought process was.
So tell me if I'm answering the wrong question. I worked out at a very challenging level before I was pregnant. So, I mean, like I said, I was working for Reebok and Cirque du Soleil, and we were developing this program called Jacari Fit to Fly, which was trapeze from Cirque du Soleil world meets suspension training from fitness world. So we were literally, swinging from a bar, essentially, and using our own body weight to do a lot of strength training. So I was doing anything from that to I wouldn't call myself a CrossFit girl, but I like a lot of CrossFit type activities to, hardcore dancing. I mean, to me, I was working out like an athlete or a performer.
So were you actually getting to fly on the trapeze or anything like that?
I did. I mean, not on a regular basis, but part of my job was to go to Cirque du Soleil headquarters, look at what they do, and say what of everything in this facility would work well in a gym, obviously a different kind of level. But so they put me on a lot of different equipment. It was amazing. And because I'm small, like a lot of Cirque du Soleil artists are, I was kind of a guinea pig for a lot of stuff. I consider what I was doing prior to pregnancy to be on the more challenging level. And that was really where my DVD came into play. My girlfriend and my business partner, Anna Kaiser of AKT in Motion, her and I, like I said, my business partner, Anna Kaiser, and I partnered on the DVD because we wanted to be able to offer women something, women who'd been working out prior to their pregnancy, something that was still inspiring and motivating. When I went to do my research on the prenatal market, it was all prenatal yoga, which I think is amazing and helps prepare you for labor. But for some of us, it's not our workout of choice. And then also, if it wasn't that, I felt like a lot of the pregnancy DVDs were basic training. So to me, somebody who'd come to their doctor and says, I think I should be doing something, I'm pregnant, what can I do? And they'll send them to do a prenatal workout, and then it's extremely conservative. So with Expecting More, we cater to all levels, but I really wanted to be able to also cater to the woman who'd been doing something a little bit more challenging, whether that was, you know, Insanity and P90X workouts, or CrossFit, or they'd been an athlete or performer. What should they be doing? Like, what is moderate for them, which is quite different from a person who hadn't been working out prior to pregnancy.
Gotcha. So I was watching one of the little YouTube videos, just kind of to get an idea of, you know, what you do. And I'm really thinking that I might try and download one of those and see if I can actually handle doing the workout myself. I mean, I work out kind of regular. I'm not Insanity or anything like that, but I'm thinking I might download one of those and
oh,
try
good. Yeah.
And
Sweat Unlimited.
See.
Sweat Unlimited to me is a good workout for anybody. I have men in my DVD. This is the non-pregnancy one that I'm talking about for everybody.
Well, I meant the pregnancy one. See if I can even handle
the pregnancy one. Go for it.
See if I can handle what you do when you're pregnant.
See if you can hang with the pregnant chicks.
So, yeah, that's. I don't know if my boys kind of count as trapeze artists, but I throw them up in the air. So.
Hey, I hear you. My husband likes to hold my son with one hand and bench him. So I hear you.
All right, so that's a question I added there at the bottom. Your husband, how much did he play into your working out? Like, does he work out with you? Does he encourage you to do that? Or has he ever told you, you know, hey, you need to back off or anything like that?
No. I mean, my husband is 100% supportive. We've never been the couple that really works out together. I would say we do more fun outdoor activities together. So we like... obviously not right now, but when I'm not pregnant, we like to go for runs and walks together and bike. But when we go to the gym, we take our different routes and do our own thing. That said, when I was pregnant with my son, I was actually doing, and again, let me explain so it doesn't sound too crazy. I was doing Tabata classes up until the end. And the reason I liked Tabata, so if you're not familiar with Tabata, Tabata is... pretty much if you take any exercise and you work when you're not pregnant, you're working to your extreme, you're working to go breathless. It's 20 seconds on, 10 seconds off. Obviously, when I'm pregnant, I was not working to go breathless. But what I did love about Tabata was that I only had to do the movement for 20 seconds. So I would, you know, modify it to my version so that I was working in a really safe level. My rule for pregnancy is always to make sure that you can talk out loud. So I was never going breathless, but I loved that I could take a move, do it for 20 seconds, and then rest. So when I was taking those classes, my husband did come and take class with me. I think it was twofold. I think, one, he likes Tabata as well, because it's usually pretty athletic moves. And then secondly, I do think he was checking in on me to make sure that I was, especially towards the end there, that I was being moderate.
I gotcha.
But yeah, outside of that, no, we don't really. He knows I know what I'm doing and what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's good. I would like to encourage my wife to do those things, to exercise and do that stuff. But one of the things that we were talking about in the very beginning is she's not feeling real well right now. Like, she'll get dizzy if she stands up too long washing dishes or cooking a meal. She has to go sit down because she's really tired or washing dishes. So what are your... Do you think that that someone can go from where she is right now to working into those not, I guess, is it prenatal fitness classes, the ones that you know, the expecting more classes?
Is she she's first trimester, is that correct?
I think so, yes.
Okay. So I mean, what you're talking about is really, really common in the first trimester. I think it's different for everybody. I was actually a little more nauseous this time than I was with my son. And I would say two things. If it's an energy level thing where you're getting up and you're just feeling exhausted, like you can't do anything, exercise has proven to help that. So if that's someone's situation where they're just feeling exhausted, my encouragement would be to get up and move your body. If it's something a little bit more severe, like you're talking about with your wife, where she's actually getting dizzy, I would definitely take your, I mean, for both situations, I would take your doctor's advice. What does her doctor say about the dizziness? Is she saying that she needs to just get up and get some food in her, or what does she say about that?
Oh, well, we haven't really been to the doctor since she's been feeling that way. I mean, we go to the doctor on Monday for another checkup, and I'm sure she'll talk about it then, but.
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely, in terms of the dizziness and the nauseousness, I'm not going to push exercise on anybody that's feeling like that. But do I think that it will pass? Yes. I think all of these symptoms are really, really common in the first trimester. And I found with both my pregnancies, you hit the second trimester, it's like you hit 14 weeks and all of a sudden you feel like a brand new person. So for that circumstance, I would wait it out. But that said, I would imagine maybe something, you know, cardio or strength based isn't going to necessarily be something she's ready for, but I would think maybe something a little more gentle like yoga. If you go on my Expecting More DVD, I have a program called Salutations, as well as a more Pilates-driven workout that's called Sweat Strong Down. And either of those, I think she would feel actually really good doing. So I would definitely have her either look at. I have six different workouts on my pregnancy DVD, ranging from gentle movement all the way up to some modified sports training. So I would have her look at one of those, or just look at a prenatal yoga class. I bet it would actually feel really good. And just tell her to stay hydrated and get some food in her.
All right. So there's, with your DVD, there's all different fitness levels, is kind of what you're saying.
It's twofold. There's six different workouts. There's a sweat sport, which again, I mentioned is modified sport drills, something we call sweat funk. That's a cardio dance. The biggest difference between that and a real cardio dance class is that everything during pregnancy to take a little bit slower is going to be a little bit safer. So it's a little bit slower than maybe, and when I say slower, I don't necessarily mean easy. I just mean literally the music's a little bit slower. There's an interval training program on there, and then there's two strength training programs. One is all standing up. The other one's a little more Pilates based on the floor. And then there's a yoga fusion class. So there's that aspect. There's six different workouts and kind of six different genres of fitness. And then on top of that, I offer modifications throughout. About half of the workouts I actually have backup with me, pregnant backup, and they are showing different modifications for different levels of fitness. And then also in the ones where they're not there, I'm talking everybody through the different levels.
In the videos, you have basically other people showing the modified exercise?
Yep.
That's very cool. Excellent.
Yeah, and it's been funny. I mean, every pregnancy really is different because I've actually done my DVD a few times this time around, and I have to do the modifiers version on some days. So I'm not actually working out with myself. I'm actually working out sometimes with the modifier. So you just have to listen to your body and go with the flow.
All right, so there's kind of a little bit of a break right here. You can see some of my students have come in, so why don't y'all say hello to Ms. Haley real quick.
Hi.
How are you guys?
Hello. What are some basic guidelines you give to expecting mothers trying to stay fit?
Okay, so my two basic guidelines right away off the bat, because there's a little bit of controversy over there, there's still this number floating around where women think that they can't get their heart rate above 140 beats per minute, which the American College of Gynecologists and Obstetricians actually decided in 1992, I believe, that was no longer valid. So the best way for a pregnant woman to validate in terms of knowing where she is in terms of her workouts is to make sure that she does not go breathless. So that means you have to make sure you can always talk out loud. So I find sometimes I end up looking like the crazy person if I'm, you know, working out on my own and have to kind of talk to myself to make sure I'm in a good place. And then on top of that, just making sure you don't get too hot. And again, that's going to be different for everybody. As a redhead, I'm not actually a huge sweater. I don't sweat a lot, but what I can tell in terms of my workouts is my face will turn bright red. So I know if any of that kind of flushed color is coming on, I've probably pushed myself too hard. So everybody kind of has to find their thing, but just figuring out what's moderate for you. And again, just making sure that you don't go breathless and can always talk out loud. So those are the main kind of cardio rules that I try to have women keep in mind. Outside of that, you want to stop doing crunches after 20 weeks. and be very conscious of, you know, if you're developing a diastasis recti, which is the separation of the abdominals. So there's several ways to talk to test yourself for that, which I can always talk about later too. And I'm thinking of any other rules that I always make sure to tell everybody. I think that's really those are the big ones.
So I have a real quick question about what you were saying. Redheads don't tend to sweat as much as other
people. No, I think a lot of redheads. The sweating, not necessarily. I think a lot of redheads tend to get very flushed when they work out.
Okay, I got you. The fair.
Yeah,
skin.
No. I mean, I personally just don't. I don't know. I don't sweat a lot. I don't know if it's that I keep myself hydrated. I'm not really sure. It's like that when I'm pregnant, when I'm not pregnant. But I do find a lot of redheads get very flushed.
Okay.
Especially those of us who are Irish.
All right. I'm actually born on St. Patrick's Day, and I have Irish heritage as well. Just I don't have red hair, so.
Do you get flushed when you work out?
Yeah, I'm pretty light-skinned.
There you go. Yeah, so. No, the sweating thing, I think, is just all, it's all over the board. Didn't mean to suggest that.
Well, that was
okay.
Funny.
Well, I just, it's something I'd never heard before, and, you know, that's part of, a big reason why I do this is so I can learn a lot of different stuff, so.
Yeah, I mostly meant, like, I can't tell, you know, I mean, working, and just because you're sweating doesn't mean you're working too hard by any means. I mean, sweating's a way of your body cooling off, so. I think a lot of people, I've actually heard that before. I've heard some women say to me, oh, my doctor said I shouldn't sweat during pregnancy. And I'm like, what do you think is going to happen when you go into labor? Sweating is not necessarily a rule of thumb. It's good to sweat. It's good to get comfy. It's good to get warm. You just don't want to get too hot. And the main reason why is we just don't know what's happening inside if you're getting that hot on the outside.
Gotcha.
What activities should be avoided?
What activities should be avoided during pregnancy? This is going to depend a lot on, again, what you are doing prior to being pregnant. I mean, the big ones are contact sports should definitely be avoided for obvious reasons. You want to keep that bump, that baby bump, nice and safe. And then the other thing is to just evaluate, I guess, your risk of falling. So I work out on an ultraslide. I don't know if you all are familiar with an ultraslide, but it's a big platform where you literally slide back and forth, kind of like you're ice skating. I'm a master trainer in the program. I've been working on the ultraslide, you know, since basically I had my son. So I was doing that a ton before I was pregnant, so I've continued to do it during my pregnancy, but it is challenging on the core, so I would never necessarily suggest that a pregnant woman jump on that if they hadn't been on it before. So again, just going back to the rule, what's moderate for you? Were you doing it prior to your pregnancy? And then should you continue to do it?
All right, so ultraslide, if you put on socks and slide across a tile floor, it's kind of similar.
Yeah, you're actually pretty right on, which could be scary for a lot of pregnant women, which, again, is why I don't suggest it unless you've already been doing it prior to your pregnancy.
What are some indications to decrease or stop exercising?
There's a whole kind of list of them. I would say the most important thing to remember is if it does not feel good, don't do it, right? I mean, I think a lot of times when we're not pregnant, we think sometimes that pain means we're going to gain something, and we push through that. When you are pregnant, remember this is not about you anymore. It's about keeping the baby safe. So that's why I stress listen to your body. If something doesn't feel good, you need to stop. Other than that, there's really obvious, not so obvious to everybody, but if you have any bleeding, if you have labored breathing, if you get dizzy, if you get headaches, chest pains, muscle weakness, another thing to kind of keep in mind is after you work out, you want to feel the baby kicking, you want to feel the baby moving. I say that a little bit carefully because I've had a really different pregnancy this time, and that with my son, he was a huge kicker and he kicked all the time. This time my fluids are a little bit higher, and I don't have a kicker in here. I just kind of have a mover, so it's a little bit harder for me to judge after my workouts whether, you know, the baby's moving around a lot.
What are you having?
I don't know. I don't know. I know the question.
Okay.
You want to know? I'm like, of course I want to know. I just have to wait a few more weeks.
Oh, I thought she was. Oh,
yeah, she is May 25th, so it's like 3 weeks.
Wow. You're having one of those pregnancies where you don't want to find out
what you're having? No, it's funny. Jeremy and I were talking about this earlier. It's not that I don't want to know. I think it's more that we like to be surprised.
Oh. That's exciting.
Thank you.
What are your thoughts on sports and pregnancy?
My thoughts on sports and pregnancy. Okay, so my overall thought, and especially this pregnancy, has been do what makes you happy. And then you kind of have to make the decision for yourself. So, for instance, with me, I was a professional dancer before I worked in fitness. So I still take this cardio hip-hop class. And the women that are in the class with me are always like, I can't believe you're doing this. But it feels amazing on my body, for one. It makes me feel kind of normal in this, you know, in this 9 months of not normalness that I've had. And it just makes me super happy. And of course, there's movements that I have to modify now. I can't really go to the floor and do floor work and things like that. But I would say definitely evaluate the sport that you want to do. Evaluate the risk and how your balance is feeling. And then you're going to have to decide from there. Again, if it's a contact sport where you can't control other people, it's going to depend a lot on the sport. I mean, I heard another prenatal expert the other day say, no, if you like to ski, maybe just take it on a different level. And I mean, that to me was like, whoa, but I'm not a skier. I can barely make it down a bunny hill when I'm not pregnant. So the idea of getting on skis when I am pregnant is terrifying. So I think you just kind of have to evaluate your life and how good you are at what you do.
All right. So I know earlier you said you got to evaluate the risk fall. So what about just saying someone that wants to play volleyball where you're jumping, would you just say that's probably not good because you're jumping up and down? That's going to.
No. And so this is the great thing about athletes and dancers is that we learn how to land on our feet, right? We learn how to move through our feet. And so, again, jumping to me isn't as scary. Am I talking like tuck jumps? No, because that's obviously more of like a crunch and it's going to disturb the baby and the integrity of what's, you know, trying to grow in here. But like a light little hop to me, that to me personally, and if you go on expecting more, you'll see a few of those because I know how to land on my feet. And in the video, I talk about that. However, I have people behind me who are not jumping in case that's something that you aren't comfortable with or aren't doing. So I wouldn't necessarily say that. I mean, gosh, we know some pretty famous volleyball players who worked out during their pregnancies, you know, and into the Olympics.
Yeah, I was going to say one of the Olympic volleyball players, I think she played during mm-hmm. during her pregnancy. I can't remember her name.
But. And more power to her. But she knew she was pregnant. She knew what she was doing. And she'd literally been probably playing volleyball her entire life. So it's a different example.
Gotcha. Right. So, you know, I'm a high school teacher, and so some of these students here get pregnant. And with something like that, if we're talking about professional sports, it's different. Do you think dealing with high school age, you know, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18-year-olds is much different because they're not as used to playing the sport, not as trained?
That's interesting. That's a really interesting question. I would say yes and no. I mean, what's great about being in a younger body is that you're much more resilient and able to bounce back. Again, my fear with that wouldn't necessarily be the one that's playing. It's that you have all these other people around you and they throw a basketball at you. You're not ready. It hits you in the wrong place. And not so much that I think it's going to hurt the baby as like, what if you get injured? And so I think that's the fear, especially for a lot of us that are active people, is that when you get injured and you're pregnant, your recovery is going to be that much longer. You can't really take drugs. There's all these other things that come into play that would maybe just, as an expert would say to the person, I think there's other things that you could do to stay fit and to stay active rather than put yourself in that situation. It's, again, I think when other people are involved in the sport, it becomes more about, like, what are they doing? Are they conscious of you and the fact that you're pregnant? I'm sure they are. but you have to keep that in mind as well.
What is your number one tip for mothers who have trouble getting out of bed because of exhaustion or morning sickness?
I know we talked about it briefly, but if you had one thing.
Get up and move. Get up and move if it's the energy thing. And then if it's the nausea thing, which is going to sound, get up and eat. My experience and talking to a lot of women as well is that nausea a lot of times is just a key to put something in your body. I know for me, my nauseousness, as long as I kept eating and kept moving, I was fine. It was the moment that I sat still or was hungry that it came on. Again, everybody has a totally different experience. I'm sure I could talk to five different women and they tell you something different, but get up and move and eat.
Yeah, with Sarah, she knows that she actually, I think with the last one with Sam, she had to keep crackers by the bed. And so that she would eat something before she got up, so she would have something in there, and then, you know, it tended to help a lot. And so, you know, so with this being our third, she knows a lot that if she eats something early and often, then she's a lot less likely to be nauseous, but not always.
Agreed, yeah. I mean, hormones are hormones. You can't really, sometimes you have no idea what they need or want.
What are some specific exercises you would recommend for those dealing with exhaustion and morning sickness?
I love Cat and Cow. I don't know if you guys, I'm wondering if I can try to show you. Do you guys know Cat and Cow? Right? It's this, all this stuff. I love Cat and Cow because A, it's an amazing stretch, and two, it just kind of gets everything alive and moving. And you can do it anywhere. I mean, you can do it. I just did it on my little banquette here. You can do it in your bed. You can do it on the floor. I would say that's one of my favorite exercises to definitely do, just to get the body flowing and get the body moving. Hip circles are another really good one. Pelvic tilts, which is just moving your body forward and back, kind of like you're rocking your baby in place. A lot of these exercises are on my DVD. Or just simply getting up and going for a walk and maybe getting some fresh air.
All right, so not anything like factual stating holding you to this, but do you have any numbers as far as the ease of pregnancy or difficulty of pregnancy and fitness? Do you understand?
Oh gosh, I definitely don't have the numbers on me, but there is a great book called Exercising Through Pregnancy. It's one of the books that in order to become a specialist that you have to read. It's a book that I recommend to anybody, and it has a gajillion stats in there, just proving time and again that exercising during pregnancy is better for the baby and it's better for you. It's better for your postnatal recovery. It's proven that, you know, you'll have an easier pregnancy. I couldn't give you the numbers, but it's just been proven time and time again. I mean, then more articles come out every day, which I love. I mean, more and more research is being done.
All right, and then I'd ask briefly about your husband's role in exercising. Now, I assume since you're, you know, a fitness guru, you don't do a whole lot of junk food eating or late at night ice cream, that kind of thing. But I know a lot of people, that's the husband joins in the wife while she's eating that. What are your?
I've definitely had my fair share of. I mean, I could call them cravings. It's probably just eating what I want when I want. I'm a salty person, so especially in my first trimester where a lot of foods weren't looking good, I would say my downfall is probably a really great homemade tortilla chip.
Gotcha. And so with the husband, how important, or how could I encourage my wife, since she is pregnant, to maybe choose a healthier snack or to maybe exercise instead of...
Do it with her. Do it with her. Say, I'm going for a walk. Why don't you come? I mean, my husband tried to get me to go bike riding this weekend, which I'm so big at this point, that's not comfortable at all. But we did go for a walk. So, I would just say trying to make a plan and see if she will go along for the ride. Maybe make her a healthy meal, so that she doesn't have to put the work in. I mean, I think a lot of times when we choose foods that aren't the best for us, it's because it's easy, right?
Right.
So maybe she doesn't have the energy to make something for you and the family. I would say if to all the dads out there, new fathers, upcoming fathers, if you can provide some of that for her and make her life a little bit easier during the 9 months, then maybe better choices will be made.
Yeah, see, that's the hard part. She's usually the one that does the meal planning, and she chooses healthier options because I'm not very good at it.
I 100% understand. My house has become much messier over the past couple weeks as I've slowed down. So.
Yeah. You know, I hear that. And that's perfectly okay. It's okay to let it get a little bit crazy.
Yes. Do what you need to do. Get off your feet if you have to. And hopefully somebody will eventually do the work for you.
Hopefully.
Do you have any struggles while exercising?
Yes, this time around, so I joke and call my son my superhuman pregnancy because I didn't really have any pains. I was able to do a lot of what I wanted at a moderate level. This pregnancy has been a little bit difficult. I've had two things happen. One, about 3 weeks ago, I had a lot of pain in my SI joint. So that's right back here, just felt like basically somebody was kicking me in the butt every time I stepped down on my right leg. So that was not fun. And that limited my movement. It was almost, a lot of people said, oh, are you having sciatica? And it definitely wasn't sciatica, but it felt like the beginnings of what a lot of women experience, where they literally have pain that runs down their entire leg. So I didn't fortunately have that. But I hear, if you're hearing noise, that's my little man coming from somewhere. But yeah, I had pain in my SI joint, which just caused me to not be able to walk as easily as I wanted to. And here he is. You might meet him.
Jump in there.
If anybody wants some oranges or apples, I just given some. Sorry, everyone.
That's all right. You can sit them up there in your lap if you want. I've had my kids on the podcast.
Want to say hi real quick? Yeah. Anybody, you want to say hi to the students and Jeremy?
Yes.
Here's my Baker man. This makes it all worth it. Hi, they're asking me lots of questions about the baby. Yeah? Yes? Would you like to tell them anything about the baby? No? Okay. I'll see you later.
Awesome.
You know what that's like, Jeremy?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. That's why I do this here at school. And I, otherwise,
yeah, exactly. Well, I'm clearly not in my office. I'm in my kitchen, so.
Okay.
Anyway, yes. So, for women that have a lot of pain. Sorry about that. we go to preschool at about 9 o'clock, so that's what's happening. Dad's trying to help get ready. My job. So yeah, anyway, I was having some SI joint pain, which really limited my movement in terms of it was painful to walk, and then laterally it also was really difficult in terms of pain level. So I guess I had a little experience of what it might be like to be, I was kept thinking, oh, the next step would be bed rest. And so it is, pregnancy is just a humbling thing. And so that made me have to modify my movements a lot. I was basically just strength training when that was happening. I had to really limit my cardio movement. And then the other thing that I've had happen this time, which I spoke about earlier and I figured it would come up again, is it's either referred to as diastasis recti or diastasis, and it's the separation of the abdominals. There's a tissue that holds the abdominals together called the linea alba, and during a lot of pregnancies, the abs will separate just to allow the baby to grow. If they separate too much, it's when we get diagnosed with a diastasis recti, which I have a little bit of it this time, which is really common in petite women. It's really common the more pregnancies you have. It's really common if you're having multiples. So I have a little bit of that this time, which means I've had to back off on my favorite exercise ever, which is plank. It's one of the main reasons why you shouldn't do crunches and you shouldn't do a lot of twisting when you're pregnant, is because you want to prevent this. I was not doing any of that. I think this is just primarily because it's my second pregnancy. And I do have big babies for somebody my size. And so I've had to back off on doing any sort of plank work, which makes me sad.
Now, my question is, your belly's pretty big. Can you,
yeah, it's
can
big.
Your elbows touch the floor without your belly touching the floor?
Yes. Barely. So at this point, But that's a really great question. And that's actually, I've had to elevate any kind of push-ups or planks that I do. One is because if I were to do a full plank, that would be too much pressure and probably cause a little bit more of separation. And the other reason is to avoid my belly touching the floor. But barely. I haven't tried it because I've backed off on all my plank work.
And so since somebody like you work out a lot, you do a lot of pretty intense workouts, and like you say, your favorite exercise is plank. With the diastasis recti, it apparently doesn't have anything to do with the muscle strength or tone.
Well, no. I mean, yes and no. I think that used to be the theory, but again, more research, and I was talking to my, I have a pre and postnatal chiro that I see who's, he's an doula, and he's extremely smart and kind of always knows the next new research as well. And him and I were talking about this yesterday, and there is a lot of stuff coming out that says it does happen a lot in athletes and skaters and gymnasts and all these women who tend to have really, really tight abs prior to being pregnant. And it is, it's the baby's trying to grow, and it's like your muscle thinks it wants to stay together because it's so used to doing that. So what happens as a result is it's almost like a bigger split because there's this fight going on. So yeah, I mean, again, research is changing all the time, and it used to be that diastasis was in obese people and people who were a little less fit. Now we're finding out that it's happening in a lot of women who are on the other end of the spectrum.
Gotcha.
You just never know. You really just never know what's going to happen.
Does exercise affect stretch marks?
I don't find that's the case. I think that a lot of research shows that exercise will help in making them worse. It will help in, once they're there, they're probably not going to go away. I mean, I use the stretch mark cream during my pregnancy because it seemed to work the first time around. If you can do anything to prevent it that way, a lot of it's going to be hereditary. So yeah, I'm not really a believer that exercise is going to, you know, make or break that. Stretch marks usually happen because your weight gain happens really fast. So again, the point with exercise would be by exercising during your pregnancy, your weight gain is going to be perhaps less and perhaps a little bit more steady. So that's the way the exercise could help the stretch marks. But if you're going to get them, I feel like you're going to get them.
All right, Sarah, why don't you give us a final plug for your DVDs, but then also if there's any parting thoughts, because I know you have to leave here in just a minute to take your son to to daycare.
And so, preschool.
Preschool.
We just started preschool. So,
so parting thoughts, a final plug for your DVD line.
Yeah, my final thoughts probably for any pregnant woman out there would be to really just find some sort of movement that makes you happy. Like I said, for me, it's cardio dance because that's been my life. Whether that's walking, whether that's strength training, whether that's working out, with other pregnant women, whether that be a DVD or a prenatal fitness class, just find something that makes you happy because it is a long 9 months. You can find me at sarahhaley.com. I'm a Sarah with no H, so it's SARAHALEY. And then all my social media channels are Sarah Haley Fit. So just add fit onto the end of that. But Jeremy, thank you so much for having me. This was really fun.
Yeah, it was. Thanks again for being so quick to respond. It was about a week between the time I first contacted you.
Of course, it was a crazy week last week. So I appreciate you catching on to the story and having me on.
All right. Well, enjoy your day and thanks so much. And hope everything goes well with your pregnancy.
Thank you. You too. Good luck to your wife. I hope she feels better soon.
Thanks. Bye, Sarah.
Bye.
We want to thank the people who helped make this broadcast possible. GHATS for sponsoring CEU opportunities. Dr. David Geyer. Sarah Haley for being so quick to respond. And good luck on your upcoming baby. And you can find more about her at sarahhaley.com.
All right, so in the show notes, which I'll post on there, there's several links. But again, it's SARAHALEY. So it's Sarah without an H and then Haley.com. And again, I think I'm going to try and download one of those videos where she's pregnant and working out and see if I can even complete the workout that she's doing when she's got a big old belly. just to see if I can do it.
Are her workouts really that hard?
Well, I haven't watched the full thing, because when you watch it on the website, it just shows you like a little clip. It doesn't show you the whole thing. But I don't know. Did you guys hear when she was talking about what she used to do with Cirque du Soleil? Mm-hmm. Do you know what Cirque du Soleil is? It's like the circus and acrobatics and performance all at once. Like, it's
that's cool.
After this, we'll YouTube Cirque du Soleil and I'll show you guys. But it's unbelievable, the athleticism. You know, it's like Olympic level gymnast type stuff and then some. And so she used to actually perform that stuff so that she could train those people. So I mean, she just really fit. So I imagine she knows how to work out very intense. But again, I haven't tried any of the workouts because we were getting everything ready for physicals yesterday. So don't let me forget. We'll look up Cirque du Soleil afterwards, and we'll see some of that stuff. But again, sarahhaley.com. Dr. David Geyer is always supportive of athletic trainers, and you know, he was on our podcast last week. So, and actually, he mentioned on the end of his show, I think I was the last person, because I made a comment about his saying don't sit down for too long, and so he actually mentioned that in PHS Sports Med on his show there at the end. So check out Dr. David Geyer's show, and I believe it's 137, but I'm not sure. Anyways, if you want to check out our website, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com. Almost every Wednesday we're live. Usually it's sometime around 10. We started earlier today because Sarah had to take off early, and I didn't want to end up with a real short interview, and we probably could have talked for a while longer with her. Again, using the hashtag on Twitter, TheSMB, hashtag TheSMB, you can join, or on Google Plus. And I think actually if you were using Google Plus and type in hashtag TheSMB, it'll pull it up over there where Brianna would see it. But I'm not 100% sure, because I don't think anybody's done it yet. Or you can check out some of the other ways to get in touch with us.
Follow us on Twitter at PHS Sports Med, Google Plus Sports Medicine Broadcast, and Facebook.com/PHS Athletic Training.
All right, well, for Jeremy,
George,
Marlon,
Ida,
Brianna,
Jocelyn,
Alex,
Aisha,
and Sarah Haley, that's a wrap.